Good morning, everyone. So this morning it's lovely to welcome John Hancock and his wife Margaret, and John will be doing the talk this morning.
Thank you, Sam. Hazel's going to come and bring us our first reading, which is Psalm 96. Thank you, Hazel.
Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvellous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O family of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Ian's going to bring us our second reading, which you can find in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning at verse 18.
Right, Luke 9, verses 18 to 27. Peter's confession of Christ. Once when Jesus was praying in private, and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ of God." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and then on the third day be raised to life." Then he said to them all, "If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes into his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God." Amen.
John, would you like to come and speak to us?
Lord, may I speak in your name. May I hear your words to me and communicate them to others. I ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Seeing such a large gathering here, it must be that to get people to come to hear me, you've had to bribe them with all sorts of goodies. And as we were talking beforehand, certain comments are made about length of sermon. 6 minutes was mentioned. Obviously, people want to get on with the eating as soon as possible. Although somebody did actually mention up to quarter of an hour. But we just have to see how things go, won't we? Well, the passage that you've just heard is a passage that's very familiar to you, or I'm quite sure. A time had come in Jesus' ministry when he felt that it was a time to just check up on the disciples and what they'd been picking up, what they'd learnt, and how they stood as far as their faith in Jesus was concerned. But you notice how he did it. He's very careful. He got them going by asking them first, what or who do people say that I am? And wow, they got going, didn't they? All sorts of names came forward. John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets, and no doubt there are many other things that they said that are not recorded by St. Luke. But then, he turned to them and said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And it was Peter, of course, who crashed in with his saying, the Christ of God. Now, if Jesus had asked them that question first of all, they'd have probably clammed up. But he loosened them up by asking the question about what other people said. So they got going. And now, let's look at it from our point of view. If anybody asked us about Jesus, what would we come up with? If you went out into, say, the Westland Centre and asked people what they thought about Jesus, you may get all sorts of different answers. Great man, a teacher, wonder worker, good person, a religious leader. You might even get some people saying, who's he? We've got to be real. But the thing is, it's easy for us to ask these questions of others, but the crunch comes when it turns around and says, what about you? When we're pinned down to what we think about Jesus, who we think he is. As I said, Jesus had started straight away with that, the disciples would have really said nothing at all, and it would have just been a flat occasion. So perhaps it's a good thing for us to ask ourselves from time to time that question, what about you? Now this is one of the readings actually for last Thursday. Do you know what day it was Thursday? Apart from Thursday. The 1st of November.
All Saints Day.
All Saints Day, yes. And this is the link because, again, it refers to how people have responded over the centuries to that question of, what about you? So, let's start looking at it. It's who is Jesus, not what. We can come with lots of things when it's what. It's a very easy question, that one. But who? Because that really turns it round to us. It talks about the priority that we've got to have for Jesus in our lives. Now, the answer that Peter gave just crashed in on the disciples, and it must have created a great deal of conflict for them later on when Jesus went on to talk about what was going to happen. He was the Christ, the Son of God, the Anointed One, the Chosen One, and he was going to be suffering. There was going to be rejection. There was going to be some conflict. There's going to be death, but there's going to be resurrection. So what happened was Jesus turned all the usual concepts, traditional thinking, upside down. Look through his ministry and we see this happening all the time. Jesus was going through Samaria with his disciples. Jesus didn't bother going the long route round where most of the Jews did. They would cross over the Jordan on the east side, go down the east side, then cross back over again to get into Judea. So they didn't have to go through Samaria, which was unclean land as far as lots of the Jews were concerned. But Jesus went through that. It didn't bother him at all. But then he broke another convention. He sat down at a well with a woman who wasn't any way related to him, and that was just not on in Jewish circles. No man would be seen with any wife, a woman other than his wife, alone. And he started to converse with her. But you notice also how Jesus again did the same thing with her. He said, after he got interested in things, go and call your husband. And she opened up, I haven't got a husband. So Jesus was able to say, yes, you're dead right. Now if he'd said, you've been living a life that's not right, it would have just clammed up the whole thing and nothing would have happened. But because of that sensitivity, she answered the question in a sense. So Jesus was able to put the point right to her. She went and told the people in Samaria, in that town, Sychar, and they flooded out to see Jesus, and many were turned to him because of that sensitivity. Jesus broke conventions. He broke convention again when he met up with that Syrophoenician woman and healed her son. Then there were the leper sufferers. People didn't go anywhere near lepers, but Jesus actually touched them, breaking another convention. Another thing, tax collectors were regarded as the absolute end. And yet then and they the two there we think of, Matthew was one, but met Jesus, turned round from his ways and followed and wrote a gospel. And there was Zacchaeus later on, turned him round as well. So Jesus tended to meet with the people that weren't acceptable to the respectable people. He turned conventions upside down. And this is actually something I think that we as Christians have got to get a grip on. Jesus says a lot of things that are a big turn off. Because God's ways are not necessarily man's ways. God's ways are much higher. And of course that big turn off is, follow me. And that means denying, as we heard in that reading, denying self, taking up our cross daily. Daily. It's not just once a week, or if we're very generous, doing a 5-day week. We've got to take up our cross daily and follow. There's no self-preservation. There's no earthly gain at the expense of the true self. And we've not got to be ashamed of Jesus and the gospel. So it's very pertinent for us to ask ourselves the question, are we really following Jesus, or just some nice idea that we've got about him? Jesus asked the leaders of his day, what do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? And it's very important that we answer that question, because it reveals so much. And it shows also, that answer, what Jesus means to us. Does he fit into our priorities, if at all? How convenient is Jesus in our everyday life? And what comes over, quite clearly, are concepts that are at variance with the ways in which we like to conduct our lives. It talks about loss of self being gain. It talks about death to self being life. It talks about suffering bringing glory, pain bringing gain. It talks about commitment, and whether that, of course, reacts on other people. Also, that commitment means acceptance by Jesus. And that's what we read in St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. It talks about if we receive and believe, we become God's children. You see, our answers, our reactions, our attitudes to these statements are determined by our response to Jesus' fundamental question, who do you say I am? And this is something we can't fudge or avoid. As someone said, Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. It's the most significant, crucial and profound question we can be asked. Now, I think we're quite sure to say that for most of us, we'd be much happier being asked the question, who do people think Jesus is? But you see, we're not asked that question. We're asked the next one. What do we think? And that's the crucial question, because our eternity depends on our answer. Amen.